I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 21 as we read verses 1 through 21. In the Pew Bible, it's on page 315. 1 Kings 21, 1 through 21. Later, the following event took place. Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard in Jezreel beside the palace of King Ahab of Samaria. And Ahab said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard so that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near my house. I will give you a better vineyard for it, or if it seems good to you, I will give you its value in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give you my ancestral inheritance." Ahab went home resentful and sullen because of what Naboth the Jezreelite had said to him. For he had said, "I will not give you my ancestral inheritance." He lay down on his bed, turned away his face, and would not eat. His wife, Jezebel, came to him and said, "Why are you so depressed that you will not eat?" He said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard for it.' But he answered, 'I will not give you my vineyard.'" His wife Jezebel said to him, "Do you now govern Israel? Get up, eat some food, and be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. She sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who lived with Naboth in his city. She wrote in the letters, "Proclaim a fast and seat Naboth at the head of the assembly. Seat two scoundrels opposite him and have them bring a charge against him, saying, 'You have cursed God and the king.' Then take him out and stone him to death." The men of his city, the elders and the nobles who lived in his city, did as Jezebel had sent word to them. Just as it was written in the letters that she had sent to them, they proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth at the head of the assembly. The two scoundrels came in and sat opposite him, and they brought a charge against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, "Naboth cursed God and the king." So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, "Naboth has been stoned, he is dead." As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, Jezebel said to Ahab, "Go, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead." As soon as Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab set out to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Go down to meet King Ahab of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He is now in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone to take possession. You shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, have you killed and also taken possession?' You shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, dogs will also lick up your blood.'" Ahab said to Elijah, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" And he answered, "I have found you because you have sold yourself to do what is evil in the sight of the Lord. I will bring disaster on you. I will consume you and will cut off from Ahab every male, bond or free, in Israel." I said no. "You deserve a break today, so get up and get away to McDonald's." Right? You ever heard that voice before? Well, if you were my age, you have. By the way, anybody tell me who wrote that jingle? Yes, Barry Manilow. That came up this past week, I think. But Barry Manilow wrote that jingle. And then when you get there, what do? Especially these days. You hear voices, right? Yeah, you hear voices. Would you like to supersize it? Or maybe even before you walk in the door and they come over and say, "Would you like to supersize it?" You're thinking, "You know, I can supersize this and get a little bit more for, get a lot more for a little bit less money." Yeah. That's kind of like, I remember, digression, I know it will surprise you. But I remember there is a song by that poet by the name of Jimmy Buffett, and he talks about going to, he wants Junior Mints in the movie theater. He said, I don't want a 25-pound Nestle Crunch bar and a 4-gallon soda. I want my Junior Mints, But we get those things. We hear those voices that say, you want more. You deserve more. You ought to get more. Commercials on TV. You need to have this. You need to wear that. You need to drive this car, carry that backpack when you go to school in order to fit in, to be popular, to wear these jeans, which you pay $130 for and they already have holes in them and they're beat up and they're ragged. Just pay $20 at the Ross store and go out and cut holes in them yourself. Throw them in the dirt. Yeah. Nobody will know the difference, right? In order to be popular and not have people make fun of you. Right? How many times do we hear those voices that tell us we need, we must have, or even more so, sometimes it says, you deserve something more than this. Like the child whose grandmother asked her, how much ice cream do you want, as she was dipping it? And the answer came back, give me too much. I've run into that a few times, only it's not give me too much, but that's not enough, Grand Doc. I want more. And then guess what? I give more and I throw away half of it. So, but we hear those voices. And while most of us would not say that we've heard voices which are hallucinatory, by the way, you might have heard the ghost in the church. Al said this morning it was a ghost at the fire department now. So, while you may not hear those voices which are hallucinatory, we have to admit that those little voices inside of us are influential, are they not? For good or for bad. And many times what they say is, you want more, or, you really deserve more. I'm reminded of the Saturday Night Live character, Stuart Handy. And he would sit there and he would talk to me and he'd look in the mirror and talk about, by golly, I'm nice. I deserve more. I should get, and it's because I deserve it. Just for being him. Well, guess what? We hear those voices all the time. Sometimes they drag us away from things that are important. Sometimes they keep us from concentrating. Sometimes we hear them on these things and they distract us. Hopefully not going down the road like this. King Ahab heard voices too. He heard these voices that came in various ways and told him, you really deserve more than what you've got. You'll be thought of more highly if you have this rather than that. And so he decides he's going to listen to those voices which disrupt life. And which really keep us from understanding the good that God has given to us. In the story, we've got Naboth, a Jezreelite, who heard voices. We've got here King Ahab, who heard not only those voices within his own mind and conscience, but then they moved outside and came from Jezebel, his wife. And then we have Elijah, who hears a voice. And goes and shares that voice, the voice of God, in trying to correct things. Naboth has a vineyard in Jezreel. The vineyard was right next to the royal property. And the vineyard was very nice, produced very well. The vineyard had actually been in Naboth's family for generations. One day, King Ahab, who now, he was from Samaria, but now ruled over Israel as well, came to his winter palace, which was in Jezreel, and was looking around and decided, I would really like to own this whole plot of land. And by golly, I'm the king. I deserve to have all of this kind of stuff. And so he went next door and he spoke to Naboth, and he made him an offer.
Not one that he couldn't refuse, because he refused it.
But he made him an offer, and Naboth refused that offer. Now, Ahab still had plenty of stuff. Ahab could have bought another piece of land around. Ahab could have improved his vineyard in Samaria. But that wasn't good enough. He decided, this is what I want, and by golly, I deserve it. And so he made him even more of an offer. Not only will I give you a better vineyard, but I tell you what, if you want me to, I'll pay you what it's worth and then some, just to have it. And Naboth rejects both of these offers. Not only did Naboth want to have his own vineyard, but Naboth had heard the voice of ancestry, the voice of his religion, the voice of God, and was committed to the laws and the traditions of his faith, both legal and religious. And he said, I can't do this. I cannot give up the inheritance of my ancestors. Now, according to both legal and religious customs in the day, it was well established that ancestral property had to remain within the family in perpetuity at this time. It was a long time before women were able to own property. That came about in part because if a man had daughters and no sons, and then they married someone who was outside the tribe, and the dad died, guess who got possession of the property? Not the daughter, but the son-in-law. And the property was divided as the people took over the land, and it was supposed to stay in their family in perpetuity. So Ahab knew. He did not give in to the temptation to get a better vineyard or to get more money. He heard that voice of his ancestors and that voice of God in the laws which said, you cannot give up that ancestral property. Even if he wanted to. Legally, he couldn't. And so Naboth heard that voice which called upon his loyalty and called upon his commitment. And he refuses. Ahab, in fact, notice, he mentions the reason he's refusing primarily is because of God. Ahab reacts by going to the palace. He shuts the door. Basically, he pouts like a child who doesn't get his or her way. He sulks like an adult who doesn't win the argument. Basically, he says, I'll take my ball and go home, and then he shuts the door and refuses to eat. The voice is speaking to him, telling him he deserves more. Even though he knows Naboth is correct, you still deserve more. And so he pouts. Boy, that Ahab was a rotten, selfish guy, wasn't he? I wouldn't want to be him, we might think. But how many of us have heard that same voice at different times in our lives? How many of us hear the voice prevalent in the great American consumer push these days? Many of us have heard the voice and participated so much. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I guarantee you there's at least one or two folks in here who have participated so much that we're now preferred customers. Yeah, I heard a lot of chuckles just then. We're preferred customers. I mean, we even get coupons in the mail for extra percentage off of credit card purchases or at Macy's. Right, we got two of those the other day. In the mail the same day. One addressed to me and one addressed to me. Not going to use it, but you know, we got them. Or Sears. Or just fill in the blank as to which card. You deserve it. You're a preferred customer. Come on out and spend. And then we look at the fine print. You ever look at the fine print on those things? Oh, I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy And then you get there and you look at the fine print, or maybe you walk up with all this stuff, maybe Tommy Hilfiger or whatever. And you walk up and it says, oh, sorry, the fine print says offer's not good on this brand of clothing, these types of jewelry, that brand of cologne, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so instead of a $130 pair of jeans that's all ripped up and got holes in it and acid washed, you have to go buy the $40 jeans that aren't, right? We can't get, and we sulk and complain, but this is what I wanted. And now I can't have it. Believe it or not, there are many people who think this same way about other things. Some folks think about their work that way. And guess what? Not y'all. But there are a lot of folks who think that way about church. Well, I want it this way. I want this latest fad. I want to be happy and fun, and I don't want to have to commit to anything. I can float in or out, don't have to take a position, play a role, give any real time, give any money. I just check it off when I feel like it. Commitment to the religious customs which have been foundational are being pushed away for the cafeteria consumer-styled church. Naboth heard the voice of commitment, and Naboth stuck to it. Why? Because he said, the Lord said this. Ahab knew of those voices. Because when Jezebel confronts him, Ahab knows. He knows that Naboth is right. But he gave in to the selfish voices. Then the voice becomes more than a whisper. The voice comes in the high-pitched arguments of Jezebel, his wife, who is the daughter of a Gentile king and who has no respect whatsoever for the laws of Israel. No respect for the religious customs. No respect for the traditions. She thought the kings of Israel, who actually, if you look at the laws, the power of the king was somewhat limited, that the kings of Israel should be just like the Gentile kings, have unlimited power, unrestricted, do anything they wanted, and if they wanted something and they couldn't buy it, they'd just take it. Where the kings of Israel were to ask for things, she thought they should be just like her father. I want it. You won't get it. By golly, I'm going to take it. They should not be bound by the law. And they certainly should not be bound by religious custom. That was binding for the citizenry, but not for the king. And so when Jezebel found out, she said, well, just wait a minute. Go ahead, start eating. Get ready. I'll make an offer. I'll do something. And so she did her research. And interestingly enough, she used the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 14, there are statements about not giving up the property and the ancestry. But in verse 15, if there are two witnesses that can show the person has cursed God or done something else that is deserving of that kind of punishment, then they can be convicted and the property is up for grabs. And so she gets Naboth stoned to death and convinces Ahab, you deserve this. You deserve a break today. So get up and get away. Take the vineyard. Ahab goes to take the vineyard. And believe it or not, there are a lot of people these days in business, in schools, and even in churches across the world who reduce everything, sometimes even their faith, to politics rather than prayerful care. But that's not the end of the story of people who hear voices. Elijah. Elijah the Tishbite, Elijah the prophet of God, enters the fray because he hears a voice. The voice of God that calls him to go to Ahab and to remind Ahab that he should have listened to the voice of God not the voice of consumerism. The voice of God which says, you must live by the principles I've set for my children and my kingdom. Naboth had heard the voice which said that to sell the property went against God's laws, and which encouraged him to live according to the principles of God's kingdom. And Naboth continued that, even to the point of his death. The voice cried out even louder through Elijah when he pronounced a judgment on Ahab and on all of Ahab's people. If we read even further, he goes into more detail about the judgment. Why? Because Ahab went against the principles of the kingdom. But a lot of people do that. Even King David had not been immune to the voices when he took Bathsheba. But he came back and he repented, committed himself to the voice of God rather than the other voices, and his kingdom grew. By the way, if we read on, Naboth humbles himself much to the chagrin of Jezebel. And while he does so and he repents and he tells others about how sorry he is, we will find that later on, his house, that is, his descendants, suffer because they listen to the other voices rather than the voice of God. The voices are still prevalent today, and not just in supersizing or upsizing our meals or buying the $135 pair of jeans. The voices still come in other ways. At first, his thought was just to apply for the job. But then when he heard that another person who might be more qualified was interviewing, he planted rumors so that he could get the job over them. Bless you. The first conversation was at the coffee maker. They were both married to other people, but then the voices began to whisper. He had fallen asleep studying for the test. And when he got up the next day, running late to class, he couldn't quite sort out all the answers. But his well-prepared neighboring student wasn't guarding her paper all that well. And the voices started whispering. They had some extra money this month. What should they do? They hadn't given a tithe to the church in a while, but they really didn't like the songs lately. And the preacher kept talking about commitment. And that person who sat near them, who they didn't really like, was coming more and more often. And we could just really have a good time. And the voices start whispering. And they whisper on. And they whisper on in so many different ways. I've heard voices. Not always the hallucinatory kind. I've heard some of these same voices in my life. Voices like these and even others. And I need to remind myself that those aren't the voices to which I need to listen. Daily, I need to remind myself to listen for and to the voice. In fact, I would say the voice that encourages. That encourages me to live like Naboth, by kingdom principles, rather than listening to the others which distract and detract. And I don't know about you, but that's hard. So the question that I would have, not just for me, but also for each one of us, is, do you hear voices? What do they say? May we pray. Our gracious God, we have to admit, if we're honest, that far too often the voices around us that influence us are not your voice. While sometimes we say, well, that's just part of being human, that's really an excuse. Help us. Help us to listen more to your voice. to be more committed to the kingdom principles that you set aside, not so that we can gain any great reward, but so that our lives will be more fulfilled, and as a consequence, others might come to know your voice. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is number 308, There is a Redeemer. As we stand and as we sing, and as we listen to the voice of God's Spirit, may we truly find that which He would have us to do. Our altar is open for any decision that you might make. Hymn number 308, There is a Redeemer.